I thought to myself, you can't be a really exotic pet keeper if you never kept tarantulas.
Hello, I'm Nipper Reed.
And I'm Phil Wolf.
So, settle down, have a nice cup of tea, and enjoy the Venomous Exchange Radio Podcast.
Crumpets, Nipper. I want the crumpets.
Well, as you've been such an extraordinarily good boy...
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. You'll be sad to hear Phil is still not 100%. He's still ill. He's really dragging this out.
Sound better than I was.
It does sound better than he was. How are you feeling, Phil? Are you okay now?
I'm all right. I have my, as Nipper calls it, my throat lubricant. The cough drops, these are menthol and lemon.
Oh. So
life goes on.
What's new with you, Phil? Anything we need to know about? Having bronchitis?
Yeah. The wrinkles are paired. I don't know if they're copulating, but they're together. And I realized that I have a Cape puff, or probably a KwaZulu-Natal puff, to be honest, that needs a bigger cage. So I put him in one of the rinks that I moved. I threw her in there, and just in time for my new backgrounds to show up. And just like always, I measured. I still put the numbers in wrong. So I got my backgrounds for the Fields Viper enclosure. And luckily, it's your photo from the Negev Desert. Luckily, the way that you framed the photo, despite them having chopped the picture in the wrong direction, I think I could still make it work with spray foam and fake rocks and that kind of stuff.
Perfect.
It cost me like $50 to make those fucking backgrounds.
Yeah.
But other than that, and getting the old... I'm here. We're going. What about you, man?
I paired a lot of stuff. I'm hopeful for the Boyga flavescens. I saw a lot of, not copulation, but they were in the same hides together, which is unusual. So I'm keen for that. The Dendrophilia, a girl, was the first time I put them together, which I was really nervous about because the female is probably getting on for 6.5 feet. And the male is only 4 feet, but they didn't eat one another, which is a plus. So we'll see what happens there.
Always a plus.
Always a plus. I've paired a load of king snakes and stuff like that. And I've just acquired a stunning pair of Philodryas baroni.
Excellent. I saw them in the group chat.
Yeah. So
beautiful.
Yeah, and I had some fun making some quite naturalistic terrarium for them. So, yeah. It's just that time of year now where we'll see what's going to drop and what's not going to drop.
It's good, man. It's real good.
And you have been buying scorpions.
I have. I used to have a lot of scorpions, and I do mean a lot. I had probably 70 to 80 different species and in the hundreds. And then I realized this was maybe almost 20 years ago. I said, what the hell am I doing? Why do I have, I've got like 160 deli cups. What the hell's wrong with me? And I slowly started to give away to friends and sell stuff. And then I just basically have been out of it. And then a few years ago, I dabbled and I got one or two things here and there, import stuff. And then my other friends in the podcast world started to get back into spiders and scorpions and creepy crawlies. And I said to myself, man, I really miss it. But this time I'm going to be a responsible, mature adult. Eye roll.
Yeah.
I'm only going to get a handful. I'm going to set them up in nice naturalistic vivs. Mm-hmm. And realistically, if I have less than 10, that's perfect. So as of right now, I'm at 7.
Okay. Are you at liberty to tell us what they are?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Laris conquestriatus. I've got Androctinus australis. I've got Androctinus crassicauda.
Do you want to tell us what they are in English?
Yep. I was going to do that next.
Okay.
Parabuthus transvallicus. So I've got the Israeli death stalker. I've got the Egyptian or Tunisian golden thick tail. I've got the, I guess, what would you call crassicauda? Just black thick tail scorpion? Yeah, I guess. And Barabuthus transvolicus, the Transvol thick tail scorpion, or yeah, I guess there really isn't any other name for it.
Okay. I've seen the Israeli one in the desert. I might have some photos of that in situ.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. What were the ones that we saw in Arizona that we kept nearly putting our hands on the rocks?
Those were Smeringeris and Vehovis. Okay. And Centroides.
Okay. They were cool. Now, to that end, and you're fooling no one, Phil, with your I'm only going to keep a few scorpions, we have a very special guest with us today.
We do.
We are going to have a nice chat about European scorpions, which, living in Europe, you think I'd know a lot about. To be honest, I've seen scorpions in most of the European countries, but I know next to nothing about them. So I'm looking forward to this. It should be very interesting. I think Phil and our wonderful guests will just geek out about it, and I will be on the sidelines. But to that end, Phil,
yeah,
would you like to introduce our guest?
Of course, absolutely. So I'm in several group chats on the interwebs, and one of them is from Arachnerds on the Herpetoculture Network, hosted by Justin and Nisarg. And in that chat is a guy named Hannes, and it's Hannes Trimer, right? Am I saying that correctly? Okay. And Hannes has some amazing, amazing arachnids and an incredible collection. And him and I got to talking. I was like, man, we got to have him on a venom exchange. And his specialty is European scorpions. So, Hannes, welcome to the show, brother.
Welcome. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So I'm going to ask the obvious question because, you know, I keep snakes, which is really cool, but keeping scorpions is obviously geeky. So what got you into scorpions?
Merciless. So
I think like everyone on these podcasts, I was always the reptile and herbs in general kid. So I spent most of my childhood outside flipping logs and looking for toads and frogs and something like that. And yeah, I always wanted to keep reptiles at first. So when I was younger, I focused more on the reptiles. And then I got on the nerves of my parents for so long so that they said we can get leopard geckos. And after I got these leopard geckos, I went more to expos and in shops to buy feeders and stuff. And there I stumbled across a variety of insects like phasmids and mantids and stuff. And I got some books on those and then started to breed and keep different mantids and phasmids. Then I got into beetles for a time. And when I was about 13, 14, I thought to myself, you can't be a really exotic pet keeper if you never kept tarantulas. And then I got a few tarantulas that turned into a few more pretty quickly, as Phil know. And after this, in my teenage years, I specialized kind of on all the true spiders, like the huntsmen's sparacids and tenids and the stuff many other spider people are afraid of. Then a friend offered me a pair of Euscorpius italicus ones, so the classic European scorpion everyone saw once or saw a pic of once. I think that's really the biggest and well most known species.
They're Italian.
Yeah, they are pretty widespread.
You ever heard that the quintessential European specimen? It's Italian.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
So he offered me those Euscorpius italicus, a pair of them, and I, to be honest, I never heard of that genus before. I knew there were some scorpions in Italy and in Croatia and stuff because my neighbors once brought a dead one for me when I was a kid because they knew I was interested in critters, but I never really looked into them. And then then a whole new world opened for me because this was the first scorpion species that I bred. I saw the pairing, and then a few months or in the next year, in the following year, I saw the female with the babies on her back. And that was a really cool moment. And I thought, okay, if there are some in Italy, there are got to be some in other countries too. And they started to look more into them. It was really hard to find good information on them. So I quickly started to look deeply into the literature and only look into scientific papers, because there wasn't really any good info in books. It was all outdated and stuff. And then I saw that this particular genus, or I should say this subfamily, was really, really diverse in Europe. And that was what made me go into European scorpions. I kept some other genera, of course, too, like Lychas or Boteas or Carillus, and the small Asian or small South American stuff. And before I got into the European stuff, I really wanted to get into the Titius and Centroides. But then in my state of Germany, where I am in North Rhine-Westphalia, there was a new law, and many of the classic Boothids in the hobby, they got forbidden. So I had to change to the lesser known and more harmless stuff.
Excellent.
It's fascinating. Now,
I mean, obviously, are you close to Ham, Houghton?
Yes, I'm living in Dortmund. That is like 20 minutes away from Ham.
Yeah, so at the shows, there's so many scorpions for sale at the Ham show. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's mainly some stuff I'm not allowed to keep. And
all right.
Yeah, and it's often the there are some rare species, of course, and there are some gems you only get by chance in Ham. But many of the ones on the table you see that are not like pre-ordered and already under the table, those are more of the common species. And I'm not really keeping much of the arid species, because I can't offer them enough heat right now. When I would keep many, and they do better in heat, so I stick more to the moderate climate species.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot now. Can we go through Europe, country by country?
And you want me to name every species?
No, I don't want you to name every species. But I just want to, because obviously my passion is European herping.
Yes.
And I'm fortunate enough to have visited the majority of the European countries and most of the islands. I've never, although I've seen scorpions in a lot of those places, number one, I haven't got a clue what I'm looking about. But number two, I've never really thought about looking at them there. So, just for anybody that's thinking of herping in Europe and that lot. So what about, I don't know, it's one of the biggest countries in Europe. What about France?
If it's okay, can we like start at the west and then go eastwards? That's easier. Mate,
of course. You do. If you can remember any of them, I'm going to be so impressed, because to me, they all look exactly the same. They're all small and brown.
Okay. So I would start in the west of Europe, in Portugal and Spain.
Oh, okay.
And in Portugal, you can find two species of Butos. Butos, these are these yellowish ones, and they are bigger and they are a bit more venomous. So for okay. European terms, they are a bit more on the venomous side, or the more, in air quotes, dangerous side.
Would you say that they're the most potent in Europe?
Yes, the genus Butos in general. I can't say which species of Butos is the most venomous, but in Portugal you can find a few Butos species. Two of them are endemic to Portugal, and that was all for Portugal. Then you go to Spain, and the Butos diversity goes up, and you can find, I think, in Spain alone 14 different species of Butos.
Wow. So I'm doing a quick and dirty Viper trip to Spain later in the year. And I'm starting at Santander and going across the top of Spain and then just into Portugal. So what should I be looking out for in those? Because you've got the Sierra Mountains there, and you've got all that lovely top bit of Spain where it goes into Portugal. I should be looking out?
You put me right on the spot because I said it to Phil earlier. Butos is actually really not my space of knowledge, and I had to ask my friend. Shout out to Mario Peranich in this case, and he's really into the Butos. And yesterday he sent me like 10 papers and say, this special endemic one only on this mountain, and this one only lives in this kind of tree habitat around it and stuff like that. So I would have to look up which species is.
That's exactly fine. Where all I'm going to do is take a picture of every scorpion I find there and ping it to you for you to ID it for me. So it's not a worry.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. And most of them in Spain, they are quite endemic to some special mountains. And they are also in the opposite of the endemic mountain species, there are some species that are just found at cliffs near the sea in southern Spain. And
I was going to ask you about that. I saw some really nice scorpions. Oh, my brain. In southern Spain, but they were really coastal.
Yeah, I saw that species earlier today. I would have to look it up right now, but I have the map in the paper in front of my eyes right now. Yeah. Maybe Butos, something with G, not Gibosos. Gabani, Butos Gabani, it could be, but not sure. Mario will gonna hate me for saying some wrong Butos here.
Yeah, he'll be shouting at the radio, it's fine.
But if we go farther east and we hit the Pyrenees at the border of France, we can find at least one cryptic, maybe two species of really cool scorpions. Belisarius is the genus, and these have no eyes. They you would think they live in caves, but you can find them in the forest under stones, and they have no eyes. That is
okay.
Well, they also are found in some caves, I believe, but they are not restricted to caves. They are found in shady forests under stones in the Pyrenees. And
what sort of size are we talking about for those?
Excuse me.
What sort of size are we talking about? How big are they?
So the Belisarius, they are pretty small. I would say around like three centimeters in all. And the Butos I mentioned before, these are on the bigger side. There are Butos that are more like 4 to 5 centimeters. And I believe the biggest ones are up to 8 centimeters, I would say. Wow. That sounds pretty small. And for all the American listeners, they will think, oh, it's super tiny. I had this situation in the group chat with Phil and some of the other guys, and I talked about Europe's biggest scorpion, and I was totally amazed by the size. And all the Americans said, oh, that's quite small, yeah? And that's the biggest species we have here, but I will come to them later.
It's so not all about the size. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so in Spain, it's kind of debatable if you have like the Euscorpius genus. There are there's not a single described one for Spain, but there are some founds of Tetratrichobotrius flavicaudis. This was in Euscorpius once. These are the ones you got in England, Nipper.
Yes. Now that is very close to where I live.
Yeah, and these are sometimes found in Spain, but they are not really good. There's not really good evidence for that. And when we go to France, there are the Butos, they get less. There are only 3 species of Butos to find in France. And the Belisarius I mentioned in the Pyrenees. And then we start in southwestern France, we start with Euscorpius. And Euscorpius, basically, they are distributed from southwestern France up to Turkey. And in every southern country, there are Euscorpius. They are between 1 and 5 centimeters big. And there are, I think, right now, there are 73 species of Euscorpius in Europe. And Euscorpius had former subgenera, like Alpiscorpius, for example. And Alpiscorpius is now its own genus. And Alpiscorpius has the most northern distribution in Europe. They start in the Alps in Switzerland and in Austria. Unfortunately, not in Germany, but like 15 kilometers behind the German border in Austria, you can already find some.
I was about to ask whether you got scorpions in Germany. I wondered if they'd...
Unfortunately, not. Yeah, the Swiss got them, the Austrians got them, even the Czechs got them because they have an introduced population of Euscorpius, but we in Germany, we don't have them.
And,
really unfortunate.
Never mind. So moving on from Austria, what about when we're going over through Italy and Slovenia, what's next? Italy, Slovenia, Bosnia, Croatia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Macedonia, yeah, Greece.
So I
that's geography for all you Americans
listening. I won't say all species for every country now, but yeah. I have to say a bit about Italy. Italy is a really hot spot for Euscorpiina. They alone in Italy there are 26 different species.
And now, do you I'm going to be honest here. Do you think there is a big diversity of scorpions in Italy, or do you think, as in herpetology, the Italians just split everything because they want to get their name on the paper? Apologies to any Italians listening.
So there's one leading author who is Italian, and he never responds to emails of mine and of friends, and he really likes to describe new species, so to say. But to be honest, it makes sense. If you look at the papers and if you look at the scorpions themselves, it does make sense, and he has genetic evidence with it. So it makes sense. Italy and the whole Balkans, Italy is really good research with scorpions now, I think, because it's easy to travel there and kind of safe. And in many places of the Balkans, people had other things to do than describing scorpions in the last few decades. And in places like in Bosnia, for example, there are a lot of mines still in some remote areas. Yeah. So it's kind of dangerous to go off-road and flip logs and find information. But there are many species that got newly described over the last years from Bosnia, Serbia, and Montenegro. So,
sorry, just going back to Italy. Are there endemics on Sicily and Gozo that are different to mainland Italy?
Definitely. On Sicily, or not Sicily, I don't know the English name of it. The other big with S, Sardinia, of course, same like in German, Sardinia. Yeah. And on Sardinia, there is one endemic cave scorpion that has its own genus. It's Zardioscorpius, I think. And this is only found in one cave on Sardinia. And on all other Italian islands, on Sicily, you got four endemic Euscorpius on Sicily. And most of them are endemic to one kind of valley, even. And on all the other small Italian islands, you got your own species too.
That number one, that really, really annoys me, because I've been to Sardinia a number of times and I've been in a lot of the different cave systems, the mountain ranges, because I photographed all the different cave salamanders. Ooh, so cool. If I'd have known there was a specific endemic scorpion, I'd have definitely gone to try and find that as well. I probably will go back because I think they're about to split another lizard on Sardinia. But on Gozo, I photographed some scorpions, and they were the prettiest of any European scorpion I've seen. They were really tiny, but they were bright red, beautiful, a rusty red, really lovely.
What is the island again?
Gozo.
Gozo.
Gozo. It's literally off of Sicily.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's literally... So you've got Malta,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got Gozo.
Okay, might be a new species, Nipper.
Oh, I wouldn't think it's a new species. It's just a very, very pretty scorpion, and they was all in the sandstone cliffs along the beaches.
Okay, I have to look this up afterwards. But
I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to find it on iNaturalist.
So if you look at Malta, is kind of at the bottom of Italy. It's a big island, and then the smaller island is Gozo.
Yeah, it's probably something endemic, but to be honest, when I researched some Italian Euscorpius, I never stumbled across any papers that have this island in it.
You're referring to there's two islands northwest of Malta proper, right?
Gozo is quite famous. It's a big inhabited island. It's a holiday place. Just come up straight. Gulf Oscar Zulu Oscar.
Hmm. Okay. So there is a paper that says there were scorpions found on Gozo, but back in the day it was just listed under Scorpius carpaticus. It was, okay. I think this paper is a few over 10 or 15 years old. And it says that is some Scorpius carpaticus subspecies. It might be described now, but it could be that it's not
just unique. a phenotypic color form because of the rock or something like that.
It's high likely that's an endemic species. With Scorpius, you tend to see really not really color forms, but they tend to separate in own species because they can't really balloon like baby spiders. They make a string of web in the air and they balloon. But Scorpius, they are really not great walkers and so. And if they are separated for I don't know how long, they tend to form their own species. At least that's the case in the Balkans and in many parts of Italy.
There you go. There's a little fella.
Okay, they color-wise, they all look the same, and this one seems to be dead. Yeah, it's definitely some Scorpius, but I can't tell you which.
Yeah, they don't. No one's even tried to identify it. So, and there's several in that. It just says, you know, your Scorpius Sicanus complex.
Yeah, the complex was split, and the paper I talked the species I talked about on Sicily. This paper was like held back by this Italian author, and he wouldn't want to send it out. But I got it somehow over another guy, and. The Sicanus complex was split. They were thought to be Sicanus in Greece and Sicanus in Italy, and it was all split in different species.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, they look like the Sicilian ones I kept once.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, Sicily's so close to Gozo, they've got to be similar.
Yeah, okay. Might be Scorpius garganicus or Scorpius altadonai, but not sure about that one.
Yeah, cool. So, sorry, you were talking about now going into Croatia and Bosnia.
So, in Croatia and Bosnia and all these other ex-Yugoslavian states or the states in the Balkans, you got Scorpius and you got Alpiscorpius. Alpiscorpius has its own subgenera now. That is quite a mess when you first hear about it. But there's now the subgenus Balkan Scorpius and the subgenus Hatzius. All brown, small scorpions under 3 centimeter, and it's like it's just counting hairs and comparing genetics. You can't really see it with the naked eye which one is which.
If I may, sorry to interrupt you, but you were speaking about all through genetics and nothing with the naked eye. There recently was a huge movement with Lieros and some of the Boothus, where they actually were using microscopes and black lights to look at like scalation and the pectines and like chelicerae markings in black light under a microscope. Are they doing stuff similar to that with them?
Never heard of the UV method with it, but
I'm going to send you the papers. It's crazy.
I meant with the naked eye. I mean like in the field with a living specimen, but of course it's done with morphology too. You have to, the main thing in Oiscorpius and all the Oiscorpids, this family or subfamily, I always say subfamily because the family of Oiscorpiidae, they have like two other genera in South America, Middle America. I don't know why, but I always say just subfamily because Oiscorpiidae with N, the subfamily, it's just in Europe. And the main criteria for those are the count of Trichobotria, so the count of the sensory hairs on the pedipalps, on the pinchers, and that in combination with marbling on the chelicerae, with granulation on the metasoma, with the hairs at legs, with the pectine count, with genetics, with biogeography, and that all in combination that makes up the taxonomy of them.
Excellent, absolutely excellent.
I had to dig a bit deeper into this because I had the great chance to ID the Senckenberg Museum collection of Oiscorpius. And at first I was quite overwhelmed because I thought, oh, that's such a huge task. And I said yes, and I maybe can't do it. But I just, the guy who made this possible is a friend of mine, and he's really, really friendly. And he said, that's no problem if you don't identify all. And I started to look into the papers more. And after quite some time, you know what to look at and how to recognize certain subgenera or certain species groups by just looking at one thing.
Characteristic. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. So if we go, what about Slovenia and that sort of area?
Slovenia mainly got Alpiscorpius. I think there might be, there is Euscorpius aquiliensis in parts of Slovenia. And I think maybe some population of Euscorpius tergestinus or Italicus, but mainly Alpiscorpius, the small brown blackish ones. And I think you had the story with a native that stung.
Yeah, we was herping an area. I won't give out its name because there's other reasons to go there which naughty collectors might go to. So we was herping an area in Slovenia, which was at altitude, looking for salamanders and vipers, and flipping rocks, and a chum of mine got stung by a tiny, tiny little scorpion, which we thought nothing of. And then for the next 24 hours, he could not stop vomiting. It was the weirdest thing. He had, not significant, but he had visible swelling of his hand. But yeah, he literally could not stop vomiting. It was really strange.
That's the first case I have ever heard of this whole subfamily that had medical significance. Yeah. And I already noticed that in the episode with Paul from South Africa, where you told it. And I really wondered if it was like the small black one, not some bigger yellowish.
No, it was a small black one. Because that's all we saw. I didn't realize there was other ones there. They were quite common in that sort of alpine area.
Yeah.
But and then 24 hours later, completely fine again.
That is super interesting because there's literally no scientific evidence of like medical significance in this whole subfamily. So not cool for the guy, but really cool to hear
not
about.
Not cool for me because he's vomited in the hire car. It's inconvenient.
And I think about it, these small Euscorpius and Alpiscorpius and the other subgenera, people always say they can't get through your hands. And I hand collected or I grabbed some in Italy. And when I do maintenance or I pair them, I just pick them up with my hands. You shouldn't do that with scorpions at all. But with I thought to be harmless ones, I will not do that in the future now.
I don't know, maybe it was just an allergic. I mean, as you say, venom is venom. You know, some people are allergic to bee stings. It might have just been a really poor reaction to venom. But yeah, it was odd.
Now your Euroscorpions that you said in the past you've just picked up with your hand, do they actively sting as a defense? No? Okay.
So some might, if you really, really provoke them, if you like squish them, but so I don't pick them up always with my hands, but sometimes if I have to like take a piece of bark out, or if I have to separate babies, I just go like when the mom is in the way, I just push her with my finger, and usually they just go away. If you squish them, they will sting, and that's what happened to your mate. I think he just grabbed under the rock, grabbed the scorpion by accident, and then got stung.
Exactly that.
Yeah, and even if you try to provoke them, or if you grab them with your tongue, with your tweezers, most of them won't even try to sting. That's, I don't know, that's not what they're made for, you know. Their venom is for like killing isopods, not for defense, like in some boothids. For example, in some African boothids, it's for defense, so the meerkats and some other mammals can't eat them. I mean, meerkats, they are specialized on boothids. They can like rip off the stinger with no problem, but some other mammals can't, and that's a really like a defense mechanism. And in most European scorpions, I'd say even in Butos, the venom is just for killing prey and for mating.
That's cool. So if we move from Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Bulgaria, we're getting down to like the area of Federal Republic of Macedonia, Montenegro. I've seen some lovely scorpions at altitude in Montenegro. It seems to have quite a few species there.
So in Montenegro, the natural range of the first Egeobutus species start. Egeobutus is it was Mesobutus in the past. It's a yellow boothid. It kind of looks similar to the to Butus, but it's more slender, more thin. And yeah, in Montenegro, the range of Egeobutus gibbosus starts, and also in Montenegro and all the, like I said, from Italy until Greece and Turkey, you have Euscorpius and Alpiscorpius everywhere. So these are like everywhere, but now Egeobutus starts, and Egeobutus is distributed over Albania, parts of northern Macedonia, I think even parts in southern Serbia, but not for sure. And yeah, that's just one species though, Egeobutus gibbosus. I have the theory that in Montenegro there is at least one subspecies, or and maybe a new endemic Egeobutus, an undescribed Egeobutus, because when you look at the distribution range, there's quite a gap between the Albanian, Macedonian ones and the Montenegro ones, and they're like there's a big lake in between. So
Lake Scutari.
Yes.
Everybody knows Lake Scutari. Everybody knows Lake Scutari. That's where the vipers come from.
You said that they got split up from Mesobutus. Is Mesobutus still a thing? Or
yes,
it's more Anatolian area?
I think Mesobutus starts maybe somewhere in eastern Turkey, but from what I know, Mesobutus is now more like a Central Asian thing, like maybe Kazakhstan and that area. But I'm not really much into boothids because I'm not allowed to keep many of them here. So I didn't got into them. And so we go down the Balkans and we reach Greece. And that's is where the fun begins. Because in Greece, all the cool islands start. And the first one, I think it's a peninsula, it's Peloponnese or Peloponnese.
Peloponnese. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And
one of my favorite herping areas in Europe. Yeah. The Peloponnese is just stunning.
Yeah, it got some really cool species, and of course you have your at least four, I think, Euscorpius species there. There is actually one very cool species that is not known by science, and I got them from a friend of mine, and we looked at it together, and I have to go a bit deeper into this just for a minute. So there's this subgenus called Polytrichobotrius, and this is the only subgenus of Euscorpius that didn't got elevated to genus level like 10 years ago, and we don't know why. And it only has two species, and we found another one, a third one of this subgenus that's unknown to science on the Peloponnese. So I didn't found it because I never been there, but I found out that this was a new one member of this genus. That's awesome. These are really cool. And with this finding, we found a new cool characteristic that was not mentioned in any papers before. You can see the babies in Insta1 when they are just born and on their mother's back. They have a certain coloration that is typical for this subgenus, and it's not present in the other subgenera. And that was not mentioned before because people always look at the dead ones, but not at the alive ones. Cool feature about the Peloponnese.
Very cool.
And there's the Europe's biggest scorpion species is found in the Peloponnese. It's Iurus. It's Iurus duforius. It's it reaches 10 centimeters. Doesn't sound big to Phil, but it's a really quite impressive scorpion. It's like this.
For Europe, that's huge.
That's a big scorpion in general.
And it's family Iuride, so kind of special. It looks so old and rocky. It looks like a rough. It's not smooth. It's like rough. And they live between rock crevices and under really big stones. And so they are not really found very often. And yeah, many people don't know they exist in Europe, but they do. And yeah, they are, I would say, one of my favorite European scorpion species.
And which species specifically is the largest in Europe?
It's Eurus dufourius, that endemic one to the Peloponnese. And so Eurus has other genus members, like Eurus decanum. That one is endemic to Crete.
Oh, it annoys me. I've been literally did a trip last year to Crete for.
It is really, really hard to find. I tried it. Another friend of me tried several times, and he is really into European herping, like all his life. And two other scorpion guys tried it, but we all didn't have success. It's really hard to find.
And you know, a birder who has no interest in it at all is going to post a picture on some bird forum to say, "I've just seen this. Can anyone ID it, please?"
Yeah, it's always like that. Same with some herpers. I had a guy who was in Turkey, and he was looking for, I believe, what is it called? It's genus of salamanders, Lucra salamandra. He was flipping stones for salamanders, and he said, "We got 30 of these fucking boring big scorpions, but no salamander." And I was like, "Oh, that's such a cool species! Yeah, I would kill for that."
Yeah. So always the way.
That's hilarious.
So what about some of the Greek? So obviously Peloponnese is mainland Greece.
Yeah.
What about some of the Greek islands like Samos and, you know, some of the bigger Greek islands?
Samos is actually really cool because it's, I believe, one of the greenest Greek islands with more humidity. Yeah. And depends on the time of year, of course. But Samos got quite some interesting stuff. On Samos, you have Aegeobutus gibbosus, the classic Greek and Aegean boothid, the yellow ones. On Samos also you got Eurus kinselbachi. I believe that's what Phil tries to show us right now. Eurus kinselbachi is also a quite big species, looks pretty similar to Eurus dufourius from the Peloponnese. And on Samos you got Neocalchas groberi, and that is, I think, one of the rarest scorpions in Europe. It only has been photographed like twice or three times. And this is also the same family as the Eurus, but it's quite small. And to be honest, I couldn't find any good information either than a really old description in papers for this whole genus. And Neocalchas groberi, this is the only only Neocalchas that is found in Greece and on the islands, and only on Samos.
See, yeah, I mean,
observations. So
yeah, I was in Samos last October, and it is I've said it before on other things, I went for a specific lizard that you only get on Samos, but it's the start of Asia for Europe, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, I mean it's although it's Greek owned, and please, if there's any Greek people listening, I don't mean to be offensive, but it is part of Turkey. There's no two ways. Geographically, it's part of Turkey. It might be owned by Greece, but it's, you know, it's literally less than a kilometer from the Turkish mainland. And you're absolutely right. For a Greek island, it's really humid. And it's, you know, it's lots of mountain valleys that have high humidity and very specific plants, which are more Asian than they are European.
Yeah, I think that's why this genus is on there, because the other members it's now a Neocalchas. Back in the day, it was Calchas. As always, scorpion taxonomy is always changing. I guess it's that with herbs too, but it's always changing. And all the Calchas species, they are restricted to Turkey and further southeast. So I think that's why they're on Samos too. And some of the other Greek islands, of course, Samos has its own Euscorpius. As every miniature Greek island, there's a lot of Euscorpius in Greece. And another cool thing is Rhodos, because on Rhodos you got two big species out of the family Euridae. One is endemic to Rhodos, and it's Leto Eurus rhodensis. It's not gray, but it's kind of yellowish. And the other one you can find only on a specific place on Rhodos in in the old city walls. I don't want to say exactly where, but in an old city walls of Rhodos, you can find Meta Eurostatide. And this species is normally found on the island of Karpathos. And the theory is that when they built the city walls ages ago, they got stones from Karpathos and
brought
the scorpions onto Rhodos. And those two species, they are kind of big for European scorpions too. They belong, as I said, to the family Euridae. Pretty cool scorpions. And sorry for all the listeners, this is probably going to sound really boring when I just say name after name and island after island.
But... not at all. If anyone's listening to this, they are into scorpions. So they're fine. And Phil and I, at some point in the future, are going to Karpathos. I've been there before, and it's lovely. But Phil and I are going to go there and herp and look for scorpions.
1,000%.
Yeah, there are two species on Karpathos. It's Meta Eurostatide, the big one, and there's one endemic Euscorpius, of course. I forgot the name. It's a really small one.
Yeah.
And I know a guy who swears that those are parthenogenic, but I don't know what to think about this. He said he only found females ever, and I think Euscorpius vignai. Yeah, Euscorpius vignai. You guys have to find out.
Yeah.
And then what was the, on Samos, what was the Neocalcus species that you said was really, really rare?
It was, I don't know if it's really rare, but there are not really many records of it. It's Neocalcus gruberi, like gruberi.
I think I found it here on this.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's cool.
That's a dead one.
Yeah.
I think the other photos are from Benny Trapp.
I know Benny. He's a great photographer. So I'm trying to think of Milos. That must have some endemics on it.
Well, I think so, but I actually don't really know. I think, again, if Mario, if you listen to this, please don't hold me. Milo, I can only think of the cool vipers on Milos.
They are very cool. And
with many Greek islands, there are some scorpions that are not described because the people don't care, and there are some people working on it. But Milos doesn't ring a bell. I bet they are endemic Euscorpius.
I'm sure they're right. Maybe... I went to Castellarizo, and that had little scorpions on it, so they must be.
And maybe even Aegeobutus gibbosus too. With Aegeobutus, you got like three species. Gibbosus is the most widespread one. It starts, as I said, Montenegro up until many Greek islands. On Crete, you find gibbosus too, widespread on all over Crete. And there's one, I think it's called Lesiti Plateau or something like that on Crete. And there you can find Aegeobutus gallioni. It's just endemic to that place on Crete. And on Cyprus, I don't know if you count Cyprus as Europe.
I don't count it for my Europe list, but I've seen all but one herp on Cyprus.
Okay.
I love herping Cyprus. It's a beautiful island.
On Cyprus, you got Aegeobutus cyprius, and that's a bit smaller than the other Aegeobutus. And you got Butus kunti. So all the Butus are on the Iberian Peninsula in Europe, and then you got one on Cyprus.
Okay. What about, we're talking like jumping around the globe now, what about Madeira?
Madeira.
Or does that not count? You're not counting that for Europe?
I would count it because they also have some pretty nice wolf spiders on Madeira, like the Hocna Madeiriana, former Hocna Schmitzi. They have like orange legs, and there are some other cool spiders in that area.
What's the island off of Madeira that's protected? Is it the Selvages or something like that?
The protected one?
Yeah, I can't think what it's called. That's got the wolf spider that only lives on that protected island, hasn't it?
That is...
Selvages or something? I can't remember what it is.
I can't remember what the island is called. I think the spider is Hocna ingens. the biggest wolf spider. It looks so cool. It is in some breeding projects in some zoos. I think the Bristol Zoo in England and the Cologne Zoo in Germany. Okay. And this species, it would be so nice to keep, but I think the island is protected. It's good that it's protected, and we shouldn't go leak more information. So it's the same with, like, with reptiles, often with pretty endemic or pretty big or pretty rare species in the inward world. In Europe, people will go there and find them. And with most of the species, like really common or Scorpios, that's not really a problem. They are like isopods. They are everywhere. When I was in Italy, I asked the landlord of the Airbnb if he ever saw scorpions, and he said, "Yeah, I think 2 years ago I saw one in the basement, but not really much." And in the first night, I found like 30 in the front garden with the bright lights. So there,
wow!
In some places, they are everywhere, and I won't say let take them or something like that. You should leave them there, but I would say there are some species that are more threatened by poaching than others.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And according to iNaturalist, there are no scorpions on Madeira.
Okay.
Yes, I think so too. I think these also on the Canary Islands.
I was going to ask you about the Canary Islands.
I think isn't there? Those are the ones with Fuerteventura, or?
All right. Okay.
Okay. I think. There's one.
Centrodes gracilis.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be true.
I mean, it looks it, but who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
Surely anything that's on the Canary Islands must have.
Yeah, there's
an origin of Africa.
Yeah, I'm not too sure with the geography right now. Is Cap Verde part of the Canary Islands?
It's not. It's close to it. It doesn't count as a Canary Island, but it's in the same locality.
So on Cap Verde, there is Hottentota Cap Doverdensis. So there is one endemic species on Cap Verde, but I think on the Canary Islands there is no scorpion. I think because my good friend Mario, I already mentioned him a couple of times, and he and his dad, they are really into herping Europe and also into the same vipers as you are, and they only do holidays based on the herpetofauna.
And, of course, obviously.
And he was on the Canary Islands, and I would say if there was a scorpion, Mario would have found it.
Well, so, that's the only observation, is that one. That one red, and then when you click it, it looks like Centrodes gracilis to me.
Yeah, it's obviously dead. By a shipment or something. When you look on iNet and search salamandra, so the European fire salamanders, there is like one in the Caribbean that got into a like salad box, salad import. Yeah, so maybe it's a case like that. Yeah,
or maybe the person lives in the Canary Islands and put their record on, and that happens quite a lot.
Well, no, because it's in like. It looks like it's on someone's floor, but it's in an industrial warehouse on the island, or an industrial complex.
Oh, right. Yeah, it must
like
have
a factory.
Coming in timber or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so that was wicked. So what about English scorpions then?
So the English ones, they are not native to England. Spoiler alert. They are Tetratrichobotrius flavicodes, hard name to say in English, I think, but they were once Euscorpius and then got split, and you can see that they are not Euscorpius because as the name says Tetratrichobotrius, which should mean like five Trichobotria, but they only have four in one place, where Euscorpius usually have three. So the name is a bit confusing, but these are, I think, in two places found in England because they got introduced like 200 years ago. And
I can tell you because it's I've seen them many times because it's close to where I live. So it's a dockyard and it's a fruit importers, and it has been a fruit importer since Victorian times. And it's a Victorian dockyard. So the walls are around 30 feet high, but they're old Victorian walls that are really shattered now. And yeah, the colonies all, and these walls run, you know, hundreds of feet along the side of the dock, and they're all over there. It's really cool to see. And if you just go down and blacklight it, you can find loads of them in a night.
This particular species, Tetra trichobotrys slavicaudis, is it's pretty widespread over Europe. Its origin is in southern France, but you can find them in many European countries. Same with Oesculapius italicus, and those are the two species that are most adapted to live in human-made structures. And I was once in Italy, in Ariccia, that is, I think, like 40 kilometers southeast of Rome. And there was a city wall, and then the city wall stopped, and it was like a natural stone wall with leaves and normal stones. And on the human-made wall, there were Tetra trichobotrys flavicaudis, and on the like natural stone wall, there were Oesculapius latinus. And they didn't overlap.
That's really cool.
And these Tetra trichobotrys, they really adapted to live in cracks of brick walls and in old houses and basements and stuff like that. They are also on the bigger side of the whole subfamily. And I think they have pretty strong pedipalps. And because they are longer, they are just better at grabbing stuff from out of the wall and pulling it in. Really cool species, yeah. With nice yellow legs.
The other place, which again isn't too far from me, is Onga Station. And again, that was a fruit importation by train. And they're around the station walls and stuff like that. So those are the two places we get them in the UK, which I love to see scorpions in the UK because it shouldn't be here, which is it's cool. So obviously, Phil and I, we like to go out herping. Do you go out? I don't know even what the word is. Do you go out to find scorpions in the wild around Europe? Is there a word for it?
I don't know. I sometimes you can call it like bugging, maybe, but I just say herping. Actually, not really much. I've only been to warm countries twice in my life because when I was a kid, we only made holiday in the Netherlands or Austria. I think it was mainly because of money. I was always jealous of my friends who went to Greece and they showed me pictures of lizards they found or something. And so when I was 18 or 19, yeah, 18, I think, I went to Crete with my father as a, like the first time being into a Mediterranean country. And I expected to the Oesculapius candiota and all the other stuff to probably found very easily. And when we were in the bus from the airport, I looked out the window. I said, oh, so many rocks to turn. And after 3 days flipping rocks and finding like nothing but some spiders, I was a bit, I was a bit sad. But then I looked more into, because we didn't know anything about the seasonality on Crete, or we did not consider it. My father, he was just there for holiday, and I was there for finding animals. And because he was free then, and I had no uni, no school, we flew in the middle of August, which is pretty hot and dry, and that's the kind of the worst condition to find Oesculapius. But then we did some hiking up in the canyons, and we found some small water beds and waterfalls, and there were a lot of Oesculapius. And I will not forget this feeling to see a scorpion for the first time in real life, not in a cage. Like, I flipped the 400th rock of this holiday and caught nothing, and there was it. And I was like, phew. We have a video where my father films the waterfall for my mom, and in the background I yell, "Dad, Oesculapius!"
That's awesome. That's really cool.
That's really great. That's a great.
I will say, in my humble experience, I find Crete one of the hardest places in Europe to herp. I think it's got some fantastic species, but I think the densities are really low. You go to other islands, I'm trying to think of an island that's good to go to. Like, if you go to Rhodes or something like that, it seems the densities of herps are much greater. Zante or somewhere like that, whereas every time I've been to Crete to find something, it's been a real struggle.
Yeah, it kind of was, because you know, I only had like the German and Austrian herping experience, and I found quite some reptiles and amphibians here, and I've done that all my life. But when you change to the Mediterranean for the first time, and you have not really a clue what the micro habitats are like. Was hard in the first days, but we found quite some stuff. Not something special. No snakes and. Some common geckos and skinks and some cool arachnids, but this was my first time. And then I think in 2023 I went to Italy with other invert enthusiasts I knew from the internet, because I was friends with one of them for years and we always traded offspring and recorded a podcast in German before, and we just were friends. And he said, he's Austrian, and he was going to Italy with some other Austrian guy, and he wanted to find trapdoor spiders. This other guy wanted to find some certain kind of stag beetle, and I wanted to find Scorpius. And
that is the geekiest road trip ever. I love it.
That's fantastic.
And we all three are biology students, and we just every evening we smashed some beers and nerded out about
that's awesome.
Taxonomy and that's other stuff.
So great.
It was so great. And this one was way better prepared, because we looked up every paper before, and the other two guys, because they were Austrian and they were used to hike a lot up and down, and they were a bit more motivated than me to walk in the 40 degree heat, because I found my first 30 scorpions in the first night in our apartment, literally in the right out of the front door.
Oh, that's the best herping ever.
Yeah, but we also found some really cool trapdoor spiders there. They are undescribed still, from the genus Nemesia. Wow. And I when I think about before, I only knew about some other genera of trapdoor spiders in Europe that are native to Portugal, and some in Greece, and they are like just black, and trapdoor spider, you'd never see them, just black. But these Nemesia, they are quite diverse too. And the ones we found, they were like really silver. They had a silver shine. They looked almost like a dwarf tarantula with a silver shimmer on them. And we could even find different sized slings in the chamber of the mother, so they have to stay in there for a long time. And at night, when it turned night, the guy who was there for beetles, he always wanted to catch the flying stag beetles, because there's only like half an hour period of where you can see these in the day. And we were in this forest for like 6 hours and we found nothing, and then we hit like one slope and this was full of these little trapdoors, and Clemens and I, we were just photographing and looking at the doors, and oh, there's one in there and this one is empty in there, and he was, guys, can we leave, we need to
bless him.
In half an hour. Yeah, but yeah, that was a really funny holiday. And last year I would have flown to Greece to Mount Ossa, south of the Olymp, with the same guys, but unfortunately I got really sick and I couldn't go with them, and I kicked my ass still, but I found amazing stuff there.
There's plenty of time, there's loads of time for more trips. To that end, where would you love to go looking for scorpions in Europe? What's your main place that you'd like to visit?
There are so many cool places. I would love to go to Samos and try to find the different genera, because Samos has Neocalchas, Eurus, Samos has four different genera, so that is pretty cool. And actually I have cousins who have whose father is from Samos, so they go there all the time, and my family, my dad and my mom, they visited this Greek side of the family years ago, but that's another different story. And I'm really interested in the Balkans, especially in Montenegro and in Serbia, because these are two of the least researched Balkan countries. And in Serbia, in southern Serbia, you've got some nice overlapping Oiscorpius that are also found in Bulgaria. They look really cool for a Scorpius. They are not just brown. They are brown with yellow stripes. In southern Serbia, there maybe are a Geobutus, and I would just like to find out more and to contribute more to research.
That's brilliant.
Excellent. That's awesome.
That's very cool. So clearly, you keep scorpions at home.
Yes.
Why would you do that? I'm not taking the mic here. I have no clue because I've never done anything like that. How are you keeping scorpions at home? Do they need UV? Do they need special heating? I generally don't know.
So with the species I keep some different ones. I don't only keep Europeans. And the tropical ones I keep, like Boteas, for example, or Liochelis, they look just brown and small and boring too. So the only difference is their country of origin. I keep them more humid and then like in an old tank with heating lights on because I wanted to try out if they grow faster or if they give birth faster, but that doesn't seem to be the case. They have the same growth rates as room temperature before, and all the European stuff, they do really fine with just a bit higher room temp. I know room temp is really a wide range, but I would say it's about 22 to 23 degrees in colder times, and in summer in my room it can get up to 25, 26. So the Scorpios, they really like that because in these countries where they are found, it's quite hot in the summer, but you only find them in the humid and shady places in Greece and so on. So they are not like Butos, for example, that are really in these dry and hot areas. Or Scorpios are all more kind of in these cool and shady areas. And in winter, I put some of them in the basement so they can hibernate. Some species, they just really get into hibernation and don't really move and don't eat and everything. But the Alpiscorpius species, at least some of the Alpiscorpius species, they really like the colder temperatures. And even with like 8 to 10 degrees, they still eat and run around and do fine. I mean, they're found in the Alps, so they are used to it. But with most of my European stuff, I put them in the basement in winter for two and a half, three months, and then I get them up back in spring. And most of the Scorpios, I keep them in these cricket boxes because, wait, let me get one.
Hey.
Incredible. So,
normal setup, some substrate, a bit of moss, and a piece of bark or stone to hide. I don't know if you you can't see it. It's brown scorpion and brown cork.
Yeah, it's tough.
No, I can see it now.
There it is.
That's a gravid female of Scorpius osse.
Oh my gosh, it's so tiny.
Yeah, and that's an adult one.
And you big American scorpions.
That's a medium-sized Scorpius species. Okay. Yeah, there are ones that are even smaller.
Oh my gosh.
Mainly I keep them like this solitary in these boxes. I also have some smaller glass tanks with filled up with bigger stones where like one male and two females are in of Scorpius. There are species where that works fine. There are species that I wouldn't keep as groups because they are too cannibalistic, but they are like, I can't really say why or which species group it is because it's just randomly, but some species do really well in communals, but they don't just care. If you feed them enough and there are enough hides in there, they don't care because every Scorpius is cannibalistic to some degree. In nature, when you find them, the first thing you find with the UV light are the remains of other Scorpios, because they always, if you find one, you find some others too, because they live in a really close range, and they really like to eat each other, even in nature. Some species do well in captivity in communals, some doesn't. And I also keep the Eurus luforius, the biggest species of Europe. Those I keep just solitary in bigger glass tanks. They are bigger. I paired my females nearly 3 years ago. And I think the mistake is that I don't keep them hot enough in summer. I think for these bigger species, they need it like hotter in summer. And I over winter them too. But I think this year I will try to put a heat mat on the backside of the enclosure so I can see if they sit at the heat mat or not and try to heat them up. With euros, they don't really give birth to much individuals, mainly 6 to 12 babies, but the babies are already as big as adult Euscorpius.
Wow.
And Euscorpius, they usually give birth once a year. The season starts in June with the with some of the Italian species and usually the Greek species. You're further down south you go, they start giving birth in August to September. And it also depends when you overwinter them and you let them feel like changing temperatures, you can see that. But if you just keep them all year around at hot temperatures, they can just give birth all year around.
Wow.
How many, maybe you don't want to answer this, how many species do you think you've got at home at the minute?
In total or just European scorpions?
In total.
Species at the moment, not so many. I think around maybe 15 to 20 species of scorpions, and spiders. I would have to count. I just started with spiders again after a long like a 2-3 year break where I just did scorpions. And I just got back into two spiders again. I think 20 species of scorpions, let's say 8-10 species. No, not 10, like 7-8 species of spiders, one species of whip spiders, one species of urupugi, what are they called in English, Phil? Not whip spiders, but the other ones, they spray like this acid.
Vinegaroon.
Yes, vinegaroon. Vinegaroons, one species of vinegaroon. A species of centipedes. I used to have more centipedes.
Oh, my days. Why would you have a centipede in your house?
Centipedes are so cool.
No, they're not.
I have the one of the big South Americans. Like they can get really big. No. I raised it since it was like this big, and now it's 17 centimeters and can reach 30.
No, I would not sleep in that house.
They are also in Europe. We only have like 3 centipede species, but one of them, Scolopendra cingulata, I'm sure you found them while flipping rocks for snakes and stuff. They are so morphological variable. You can find like animals that are 8 centimeters with yellow legs in northern Africa. You can find individuals in Greece that are 16 centimeters plus with other colored legs. In Romania and southern France, there are some with red legs and stuff. But that's another topic. But in total, I would say species.
I have seen too many centipedes in Europe. And every time I flip a rock and there's one underneath, I scream like a little girl. They freak me out. Horrible things.
Look at this lovely vinegaroon that Nipper found. This is actually his hand. Look at that guy.
Oh, is that Mastigoproctus? Or where was it?
This is northern Florida.
So, Mastigoproctus tohono?
Yeah. Hold on, let me look.
What Phil is not telling you is how long it took me to get the minerals to actually hold that, because I was shitting myself.
Yeah, I don't like the spray of vinegar you get from them. That's not so nice.
Yeah. They freak me out. It's like when I was in Israel, I was really frightened of the solifuges.
Oh, these are so cool, man.
There's so many different species out there.
And they are in the hobby, always people say, oh, you can't keep them, you can't breed them. But the friend who I was in Italy with, the Austrian guy, he figured out what's the secret to breeding and keeping them. That's a whole other topic. I won't go into detail here. But he's one of the first persons in Europe who had breeding success this year. And He's on the way to cracking the code on those and several different species.
Really?
And I recorded a podcast in German with him about this topic. But I think he has to be on Arachnoids with Nisak and
Yeah.
Why would you want more of them? They are horrible.
I tried, and I had a veteran guy who used to breed them and keep them, and he told me flat out, he's like, look, if you can keep an Egyptian Sulfugid alive longer than 6 months, you're an expert. So, and I tried. I got to like 4.5, 5 months, and it died.
Yeah, the thing is with the adult ones, they don't really live long, and they live, they have pretty much a seasonal life. But yeah, I won't get deep into that because Clemens is the expert for this.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting topic for sure.
The Vinegrun's Massacoproctus floridanus. It's not the giant one. It's the other one.
The Floridan one.
It was big enough. Horrible.
Well, Hannes, thank you so much for coming on the show today. If people want to get a hold of you or see some of your amazing invertebrates, where can people find you?
On Instagram at der_Spinner. It's a German play of words. You know, a Spinner is a crazy person and Spinne is a spider. So crazy for spiders, kind of like that. I'm sure you will write it down there so non-German speakers can find it. And sorry to all the listeners and you guys when I just pronounced all the islands and the scientific names pretty different.
They're spot on, man.
Spot on, mate. Absolutely fine. I want to ask you a quick question before you dash. When are you bringing out a book on European scorpions? Because I'd really like that. We need an updated field guide to European scorpions.
A book that's a dream on our scorpions, at least. That would be really cool. Right now I'm just a lazy student with much else things to do, but that would be a future goal of mine. And I'm actually I don't know, it's not a scientific, super scientific work, I don't get paid for this, but for all the Alpi scorpions, have like, I think right now 21 or 22 members in that genus. I'm doing like a document where it's listed which species occur where, when they were described by whom, and where you can find them. And I collect all info I can find from papers, from private persons, from captivity, and put it there for every species. And I want to do this for Alpi scorpions first, because Alpi scorpions only got 20, slightly over 20 genus members, and the next goal would be Scorpius for that. But
so is this an open access website you're doing this for other people, or is it just for you?
No, I want to share this with people, but I'm not really good with all the internet technical stuff.
It'll be the kind of Scorpion version of Lacerta D or something like that.
Yes, maybe. There are some Scorpion websites, but they're a bit outdated, and there's not enough information on there. So I think when I finish this document, people can just message me. I will send it to them, or I will put it in a link in my story or something like that.
That's perfect. I mean, and all joking apart, regarding the book, there isn't an up-to-date field guide to European scorpions.
Unfortunately not, no. You really have to do the research yourself and look into the papers, and even most of the herpa guys who really know every subspecies of lizards, and so they have the taxonomic stand of scorpions like 20 years ago. Like 20 years ago, there were 10 Oescorpios, there was one Butos in all of the Iberian Peninsula, and some like 3 Euids, and now with science and with the focus more on arachnids, it's easier to describe new species. So there is a need of a European field guide. Also, I think people don't really associate Europe with scorpions. You know, you don't think of the Alps of Switzerland or Austria when you think of scorpions.
Yeah, that's cool. Phil, we need an Austria trip as well, because the one subspecies I need for the Amadites is the one that's no longer a subspecies, but I still like to see it.
The problem is, when I want to go to the Alps, is when we won't find snakes.
but there's Gregor Warneri.
I know, but I still need to see it in all of its winter wonderland at Christmas time. And
boring.
It got Salamander Atra as well.
The Alps are way more beautiful in the summer when you can find when you see the special flowers, the endemic flowers blooming, and the insects and the
you sold me.
And stuff. Yeah, The North Faces will still have snow on them. You can just look at the North Faces. It'll be fine.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, Hannes, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really, really appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you so much, brother.
It's been super interesting. For me, as a complete novice for scorpions, that's really been... It's almost making me want to keep scorpions. I can't lie. And on my European trips now, I've got at least 2 Euro trips coming up. I will be looking for scorpions and photographing scorpions and thinking about keeping scorpions now. So that's
even if you just, even if you catch the one that's invasive by your house,
yeah,
just keep that. And if you don't like it, you just let it go.
Exactly that. That's what I'm thinking of. That's very cool. Yeah. That's ideal. Anything you want to add before we go, Hannes?
I don't think so. Thanks for inviting me. Really glad to be on here. I've been a listener since the episode with Paul and, even I'm not really into much into snakes. I really like snakes, and I listen to the other episodes. And
super kind.
Keep the great work going. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you, man.
Thanks very much. Just before we go, folks, my usual rant. Please follow us on Instagram. Please follow me on Instagram. I'm so close to getting there. Come on, you can get me over 1,000 followers. Leave us some 5-star reviews. If you've liked some of the shows, please leave us a 5-star review. It really, really helps. There's plenty of hoodies. There's plenty of phone cases if you want anything like that.
I'm working on some invertebrate venom stuff that I'm going to put on the website too. So venomexchangeradio.com. Check it out.
Check it out. Phil, thank you for soldiering on yet again.
I hope you
feel better soon, mate.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Wherever you are in the world, thank you very much.
Bye.